الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته, and welcome to the Islamic Faith in Focus. I am your host, Imam Hassan A. Amin. This program, or this Islamic studies class, is designed to present what Islamic faith is and what it is not. I am not here to debate with anyone regarding any faith that you choose to practice, no more than I will go back and forth with you regarding the faith that you practice. I am unapologetic when it comes to the authentic rites and rituals of the faith of Islam. Please call your friends and let them know that the Islamic faith class is about to begin. Also, do not forget to have your Quran or your pencil, paper, pen near you to keep notes. And of course, you can get your Quran free of charge by going to yislam.org, and they'll send you a Quran in many of the languages that they have available to you. Understanding that this Quran was originally presented in Arabic, and it is in Arabic. That is Quran. Everything else is a duplication of Quran, a translation of Quran. By the way, those of you who have been attending this weekly Islamic studies class, welcome back to class. And those who listen are new listeners or new students, welcome to our weekly Islamic studies class. And I was also emphasized to you that I am not here to debate with anyone about my chosen faith, no more than I will go back and forth with you regarding any faith that you practice. Today's topic will be on gambling. Sometimes it's called Maysir, M-A-Y-S-I-R, or gambling. And so I'm going to get into what it is from an Islamic standpoint and Islamic position on gambling. For a lot of people, gambling is okay to do. No harm in it. Who is it harming? Okay, I lose a little money or gain a lot of money by gambling. But who's harming? And you maybe harming yourself, and if you're a Muslim, you are disobeying Allah. So definitely, you are harming yourself when you disobey Allah. Right now, presently in the United States of America, we have what is called the Mega Millions, and it's worth over $1 billion. That's what it be, dollars. Is they have in the pot that anyone can win this money. I get into more about lottery a little later on. Anyone can win this money. Sure, it's a lot of good in it. You win the money, you can pay your bills off, you can take care of your family, you can buy houses and cars and yachts and boats and whatever you want to buy with it. You can buy with it. That sounds all good. But on the other side is you will be disobeying Allah, because Allah prohibit gambling. Particularly amongst the Muslims, he prohibit gambling. And there's no excuse for it, or Allah understands, or I feel close to Allah, or I'm going to give some of the money unto Allah as a donation or something. I mean, you can make up all kinds of excuses to gamble. Of course you can. That's not a problem for anyone to do, because it makes them feel better, makes them feel more comfortable, make it feel like what they're doing is okay, because they're going to give some of the money back or give it to Allah, so it makes it okay with Allah. I guess in a sense what they're trying to do is buy off Allah. You can't do that. By giving that money, donating the money, all the things you're going to do with that money, this is your reason for gambling, then you have the incorrect reason for gambling. There's really no reason for gambling, and Islam specifies why we should not gamble. So you have one verse in the Quran. It's two verses, and it's going to be in chapter 95, verses 90 through 91. Again, everyone should turn to chapter 95, verse 90 through 91. And the reason I want you to keep Quran with you, or have Quran with you, because this is a class. And in classes, you normally have class books or textbooks. The main textbook for this class is Quran. Q-U-R-A-N, sometimes they spell it K-A-R-A-N, and so particularly in the Spanish language. And so you can look at Quran and follow along with me on the various chapters and verses that I'm going to read, and understand it may vary from verse to verse, from chapter to chapter, or really from whoever's interpreting it. And they may have different wording from what the wording I'm going to read to you. So let's get started. Again, we're going to be, and should be there by now, chapter 95, verse 90 through 91. And it says, O believers, wine, gambling, ungodly, ungodly shrines and dividing devices, mean like arrows, but I won't really get into that a lot, or abominable works of Shaitan. Therefore, refrain from these so that you may attain to true success. Indeed, Shaitan intends to sow enmity and hate among you by means of wine and gambling, and to prevent you from remembrance of Allah from Salah, meaning prayer. Will you not, therefore, abstain from these things? Obey Allah and the Messenger and abstain from these things. But if you disobeyed, note it will that our messengers will only responsible responsibility was to convey the message to you. In other words, you cannot blame the messengers for what you've done. The messenger, Prophet Muhammad and other messengers, they're only there to convey the message to you, and you decide you're going to follow it or not follow it. Because what happens is Allah revealed He fulfilled the Torah, and He revealed the Bible and the Quran, the last revelation sent to mankind. So when mankind goes a little astray, then Allah reveals a book to him, guidance to him, guide him back to the Rata Mustaqim, guide him back to the straight path. And the last revelation sent to mankind was Quran. And the last prophet sent to mankind was Prophet Muhammad, may peace and blessings be upon him, to warn the people, to advise the people what's going to happen and what is going to happen and what is going to come. So beware, get back on the straight path towards Allah like you're supposed to, and that's each and every one of us. And so it warns us here over and over again about different things, about ungodly things, having shrines, or in other words, having things that we made with our own hands. Or the Prophet Abraham, his father used to make the carvings of the different idols. And then he would force Prophet Abraham to go out and sell the idols. And then our Prophet Abraham, yeah, he would sell it, but he would say things like, you know, who wanna buy these idols that you made with your own hands that really cannot do anything for you? Something around that. I'm kind of paraphrasing. So he would say that to the people. So of course he didn't make any sales, and his father stopped them from being a salesman. And so definitely he was not the top salesman for when you're talking about selling the idols to the people. One day the people that went, this is kind of an aside, the people went to an affair that the people have, like a festival, carnival kind of thing, and they all went to. Abraham stayed behind, and he took this weapon, that's the axe, if you will, and he broke up all the little idols, and then he hung the axe around the big idol's neck. And so the people came back and they saw their idols all smashed up. He said, who did this? Who did this? Who destroyed our idols? Because these are the things that they used to worship with, that they made with their own hands. So Ibrahim, he said to them, the guilty party is there, right there. Ask that idol, the big idol, who did it. And they knew that the big idol could not talk to anything like that. It's something that they made with their own hands. Either they made it from wood, or they made it from rock, or they made it from stone or dirt, whatever they made it from. They knew they couldn't answer anything to them, because they made the item that they decided to worship. But that was an aside. But let's get to the topic at hand, which is gambling. And gambling is one of the things which is, of course, mean the wine and the gambling are prohibited. I talked about intoxicant a few episodes ago. You can listen to that yourself and you when you get time, but I already talked about that. But now I'm talking about gambling. And we have this big thing in America and other places where you have lottery gambling. And like I mentioned before, right now it's over 1 billion. B-I-L-L-I-O-N, billion. That's a lot. That's like $100 million, American dollars. You can all go Google what it means in your money, how much that is. And it's a lot of money. You can buy a lot of things. And after taxes and that kind of thing, if a person want to get the money up front, then they can get around $600 million. That's what they can get. So, and still, no matter how a little or a lot, it is still wrong, and it's something that Muslims can do, and it's very tempting for Muslims to do, and Christians and Jews and other people, they do the same thing. They have to be a particular religion. People do the same thing. They go out and they buy their tickets, their lottery tickets. I'm going to assume that other people from other faith, that's what they do, or people of non-faith, that's what they do, because someone's doing it because they have a lot of people that are out there buying tickets for this, and maybe even some Muslims are doing it, I don't know, out there buying these tickets for this lottery. And I want to remind the Muslims and inform the non-Muslims that gambling is forbidden in Islam, and it's something that we are not allowed to do, and that we cannot do, and we cannot make excuses to doing such a thing, such as going out and doing games of chance, and not just gambling on the lottery or playing cards or horse betting, something like that. These are some of the things that we can do. Go to a horse race and say horse number whatever is going to win, I want to bet on that horse, and then you're just taking a chance. Out of 10 horses, one of those 10 horses is going to win. Your horse may win, number whatever you pick, or another number may win, but you're just taking a chance and gambling that this particular horse will win a particular race, or a dog, or a human, whomever is going to win, or a basketball game, whatever, are going to win this particular game or whatever you're betting on. But it doesn't matter what it is. We as Muslims, this is something that we cannot do, as I just read to you, where it says, O believers, wine and gambling, and of course, ungodly shrines and dividing devices, or all these things are crooked and bad works of the shaitan, and we can't get involved in them. And there's another verse in the Quran that also mentions about and prohibit us as Muslims from gambling. And this is going to be in chapter 2, verse 219. Again, chapter 2, verse 219. And in this particular chapter, it says, they ask you about drinking and gambling. Say, there's a great harm in both, though there is some benefit also for the people, but the harm of the sin thereof is far greater than the benefit. Yes, people are going to, as I mentioned before, people can buy the car. They win this $1 billion. They can buy a lot of cars. They can buy a lot of boats. They can buy a lot of houses. They can pay a lot of bills. They can do a lot of things with the money, with the millions of dollars that they are set to win. And again, I'm not just getting on the gambling here in America. I'm talking about gambling anywhere in the world where it's taking place. And yes, so you do find some good in it. People find some good in wine drinking, or beer drinking, or alcohol drinking. They find some good. It makes them feel good. and they earn and they profit from it, and people make money from it. You have generations of people making money selling various alcoholic beverages. And so, yes, and it said, but it says here in the verse that I'm talking about, chapter 2, verse 219, and it says, but the harm of the sin thereof is far greater than their benefit. So I just want to mention this to my students about the harm of us as Muslims touching gambling or touching wine. But I'm going to get away from wine, but I'm mainly talking about maysir, M-A-Y-S-I-R, or gambling, and whatever form you want to do it, we are not allowed to do it as Muslims. Now you may say, but Imam, almost every time you get on the air, you talk to us, you talk about all the bad things that Muslims can't do this, can't do that. And that is true. There are a lot of things we cannot do. But there are more things that we can do than we cannot do. I'm just going down the list so you have an understanding of the things that we cannot do. And those things that I don't mention, then, and Islam does not prohibit it, then we can do those things. And those, there's so many things. I can't name everything we can do, that we can run races, we can go boat riding, we can fly in a plane, all these things. I can't get into that, go on vacation to this place or that place. I can't get into all the things that are halal, which is permissible for us to do, or the things that haram for us that we can't do. I'm not going to get into all the things we cannot do, nor am I going to get into all the things that we can do. I'm just going to mention some of the things, some of the very little bit of things that Muslims can and cannot do. And so I want you to have an understanding of who we are, what we cannot do, and what we can do. That's how I just want you to have an understanding of Islam and of Muslims. That's all I'm trying to do in this particular presentation or in these particular classes that you are attending weekly. Also, as mentioned by one of the Prophet's companions, Ibn Abbas, he said, the Quranic verse, O you who believe, approach not prayer with minds befogged until you can understand all they say. And the verse said, and ask thee or you concerning wine and gambling, say, in them is great sin and some profit for men. And so I want to mention this again. In this you have profit, and of course you have, that's P-R-O-F-I-T. You have profit that you can gain. You can gain some money from it. And also you can, of course, you can gain from gambling. But these things are prohibited to do. And I mentioned again about the don't come to prayers with your mind, meaning with alcohol on you. Because it was a thing where before of Islam, the Muslims would drink. And one time a brother invited people to his house to eat and drink, and they drank so much until they got intoxicated. And then what happened is this one man, they stood up, it's time for prayer, so they got ready to make their prayer, and the man that led the prayer, he said some incorrect things in his prayer. And so this was bad for him because of what he said. I won't get into that because that's a whole nother class, because he says his class doesn't end the prayer. And so Allah basically revealed to the Muslims that we are not to come to the prayer with our in that kind of condition. Don't come there. But then later on, first Allah forbid us from coming to prayer intoxicated. Then later on, Allah forbid us from intoxication, period. All kinds of intoxication he forbid us from. And that's what I talked about, I think, a few episodes ago about intoxicants. No matter what it is, it could be drugs, it could be alcohol, it could be whatever that intoxicates us and make us wake a little bit befogged in our mind. And so I want to remind us of this and how this happened. That particular verse came down pertaining to drinking. First Allah, he just did a little bit of time. He just said, you know, don't come to prayer. Okay, you're going to drink. Don't come to prayer intoxicated. Then later on, he said, look, don't drink at all. And so the Muslims stopped drinking at all when it came to being a following with Allah Ta'ala and what he says. And so I also want to mention is that, again, it says you have great sin, and you also have benefit to men, to mankind, as I have mentioned before. But I also want to read something to you all, is that as for the harm that the Kamaro, meaning the because they mentioned both, that the wine does or intoxicant does and the gambling cause, it affects a person's religion. So you say, Imam, what do you mean? How does that gambling impacts a person's faith? And so it is explained in this way about how gambling impacts a person's faith. And it says here that as for their benefit, and we talk about the benefit and also how it doesn't benefit on the person, as for their benefit, and it's talking about both the drinking alcohol and also the gambling. As for their benefit, it is material, including benefit for the body, digesting the food, getting rid of the excrements, sharpening the mind, and bringing about the joyous sensation and financially benefiting from their sale. Also, their benefits include earning through gambling that one uses to spend on his family, on himself. Yet, these benefits are outweighed by the clear harm that they cause, which affects the mind and the religion. So for us as Muslims, being involved in intoxicants or particularly gambling, it harms our mind and harms our religion. It harms our religion, as far as Allah tells us not to do it, and we do it. You're going against Allah. It's not a tilah til rasul. It's not obeying Allah and obeying his prophet. It's the opposite of that. Bilax. It's the opposite of that. You disobeying Allah and you disobeying obeying his prophet, which impacts your religion. Because of what happens, a person normally, they'll do one thing and it's okay. Then they do another thing, it becomes okay. Then they do another thing, it becomes okay. Then what happens is a lot of the things that they're so permissible to do, they become not okay. And then the things that they are not allowed to do, they become okay. And even in their hearts, and this is from me, their hearts is full of all this iman, all this faith. And then once they do these little things a little bit at a time, they gamble a little bit, then they gamble a little bit more, and this stuff starts to build up in their soul and in their heart. And it becomes more and more okay. And the heart becomes darkened and blackened, like coal almost, C-O-A-L. It becomes very, 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 very dark. And replaces the iman, because when you're talking about something that's not lawful, cannot exist with something that is lawful. It just doesn't exist in the same place. So you have iman in the heart, and it have no place for what, and for the things that are that goes against the faith. And it pushes out the faith from the heart and from the spirit of the person, and from the behavior of the person, and they become more and more right what the wrong that they are doing. Whatever wrong they're doing, it becomes right. And they start defending it and make it okay. Or maybe even say things like I mentioned earlier, that it's okay. Allah understands. I get closer to Allah. I get more in charity in the cause of Allah, in the name of whatever faith it may be. I'm going to say it's Islam for right now, because that we're talking about. And so more and more, no matter what we do, little thing we do, we drink a little bit, fornicate a little bit, and it becomes and it grows from a little bit more, and a little bit becomes a lot until it becomes okay, and we start making excuses for the bad that we are doing. And there's no excuse for disobeying Allah, because we all going to have to go before Allah one day. Allah will have the angel blow that trumpet. It's time for judgment, and only Allah knows judgment day. An angel blows a trumpet and certain things happen, and we end up, the bottom line is we end up naked and uncircumcised before our Lord. We'll not be looking at each other's nakedness. We'll be concerned about what's going to happen to us on that day. Not concerned about anything else. Our money, our family, our bills, nothing else. Will we be concerned about unopened emails? Nothing we'll be concerned about. We'll be more concerned about what's going to happen to me on this day. I'm before my Lord. My Lord promised me this day was going to take place, and my Lord lives up to his promise. He's promised something and it comes through. And so I'm telling you today that you know that one day you're going to face your Lord. Like myself, I'm going to face my Lord. And if you are a Muslim and a non-Muslim too, and you're out there gambling, you need to stop. It's not too late. Because you just did it, you don't have to do it again later on. Or you plan to do it later on, you don't have to do it. You can say, "Ya Allah, help me. This is a Muslim or non-Muslim. Help me not to do this thing that you do not want me to do. The thing that's going to be great benefit to me, but it's going to be harmful to me and sinful, because you're not going to be pleased with me. And it's very important that you are pleased with me. I look to satisfy you. I look to make you happy with me. I want you to smile at me. That's what I want you to do, and not frown at me on the day of judgment and throw me into the hellfire because the wrong that I have done, because I disobeyed you while you gave me all this life in this world." So it's not too late for anyone listening to me, male or female, young or old. It is not too late for you. And if you've done it, you ask forgiveness from Allah. Allah is most forgiving. Most forgiving. Only thing he will not forgive, and I said it to you before, is shirk. When you associate partners with Allah, he will not forgive that. Give glory and praise to other things, man or non-male, or not created by you, or made by your hands, or worship the creation more than the creator, then, in place of the creator even, then you are wrong. Then you will be wrong, and Allah will not forgive that. But any other sin that is committed, Allah will forgive. If your sins as high as a mountain, or reach the sky, or reach the sky, or anything like that, or even it's like the foam on the ocean, Allah will forgive you. Just ask for forgiveness, ask for repentance, and don't repeat that act again. And stop immediately doing that particular act, and be sorry for what you've done. So Allah is forgiving like that. He cannot forgive you, but Allah says, "Look, I'm going to forgive you. I'm giving you the opportunity. There'll be no question on the day of judgment about me not giving you opportunity to do what is right. So I want to also mention to you that, okay, this was the first instruction of alcoholic and also intoxicating drinks and games of chance for stakes. At first, a mere disapproval of these things was pronounced to serve as a preliminary to the final prohibition. The next step in this direction was the Muslims were prohibited from offering prayers when they were drunk. Finally, drinking, gambling, and the like were made absolutely unlawful. All kinds of gambling in which the distribution of things, etc., is based on a mere chance and not on merit, right, or service, or other rational consideration. For instance, all schemes or lottery which entails a certain holder of a ticket to a prize merely on chance and at the expense of a large number of other holders of such tickets. And so basically, I have a ticket, you have a ticket for the same thing. We both are gambling, taking a chance that we want to win the $1 billion plus dollars in that is in the lottery, for example, or whatever's going on in your particular country as far as gambling is concerned. All this is wrong and is not from Islam and not part of Islam. You want to find more about gambling or intoxicant or particularly gambling, that's the topic of today. Then you always go to find more information from Why Is Islam. You can also learn very, very great university, which is International Online University. Another great university is American Open University. I mentioned these two universities, and I pay me for this, as I attended both of them. I have my bachelor's degree from American Open University, and I'm working on my doctorate degree in Islamic Sciences and the International Online University. So I mentioned, just want to mention the two of those educational opportunities that you can take to enhance your Islamic knowledge. I also want to mention, if you have any, you have been attending the Islamic Faith and Focus class, I have been your instructor, Imam Hassan Aid Amin. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.